Again.
And he was talking to, I was talking to a couple people about the course, and he just volunteered that I'm two-thirds of the way through it and I've made 20 or 30,000 times what the course cost. It's a trader's course developed by a trader. I developed everything I developed is for trading. It's not theory. And if you're really interested in learning about a methodical approach to the market, consider it. And because there's so much, there's such a hard time getting price data, I work with weekly and monthly price data. The first thing I look at is weekly. If you talk to any professional, the first thing they look at is weekly. How many people look at weekly? The weekly sets the trend. You want to trade with the trend. But you can't get weekly price data. After I wrote the book, people would call up and say, you want 15 cents a bar for weekly price data. So I priced around and I priced my price data. This is what I was selling it for. And then I dropped the price last year to $240 for 10 years of weekly and almost all of the, going back to 1960, of the monthly. And it's so important, I've dropped the price down to $89 for a disk for all that price data. So if you want it, it's available. CompuTrack format, Metastock format, ASCII. Okay, now we get back down to business. Let's look at our number one cell. Oh, and if you'd like any of this, I've got a table right in the Ed Dobson room, right back there. And afterwards, you can go back. I've got my sons are actually at the table back there, and they'd be glad to take your order or answer any questions you might have. And I'll be here for about 10 or 15 minutes. I don't want to intrude on the other speaker, but I'll be here for about 10 minutes, and then I'll go back there as well. Hourly, on our number seven. Number one. Here we are. Oscillator goes above the sell line. And the nature of the sell line is they tend to do it very close to the top because it's built that way. They don't always. Sometimes it continues on up. That's okay, as you'll see. We can work with that. The daily's above the sell line, and the hourly also goes above the sell line. Now that, just as in the downside, when both of them do it, it's a good buy. When both of them do this, it's a great sell. And when do they do it? Does it the last hour of trading before the day we're going to trade? Now what do we see in the 15 minute? The 15 minute is also above the sell line. So now we've got three of them up there. That is the situation you're really looking for. You place a buy stop 1/2 hour after the open, below the low of the day at that time. That's pivot point. Low of the day, 1/2 hour after the open. Your dollar risk, $500, maybe seven. If you didn't like that, at midday, you can put, here's a little graph that I put together that I use when I look at these charts. It gives me my 1/2 hour bar and the midday. So here's my 1/2 hour. Here's midday. It says that's midday. Here's midday. You could put a sell stop right here. I had it marked here. Put a sell stop right there. Or you can put a sell stop here. Either one, you are selling the market on weakness. Always want to sell the market on weakness. Risk is $500 versus $1,500. Number eight. Yeah? 1/2 hour after the open, sell stop. You put a sell stop below the low of the day at that time. On my hotline, you'll see that I'm always, almost always waiting 20 minutes or half an hour after the market opens. You wait for the garbage to settle. Because it's not one of the best things to see in a bull market is a down open. Goes down, open, stays down there for half an hour or so, and goes back up again. So you want to let it get that down open in. And then if it takes it out, you have a much better chance of having a successful trade. Down. In a down, if you think the market's going to go down, you want to wait a half an hour to sell it. Well, see, like here, if I had just jumped in to sell it because I thought it was overbought, I would have been hammered. Here, and I'd be out of control. Here, I'm in control because I give it that one half hour. It's common for it to do this and then go up. So once it's set the first half hour, then if it goes through there, all the stuff that hits the market the first half hour is already over with. The floor traders have already played their game. The forced liquidation is over. And money's starting to come into the market. Money that's going to move the market. Paper is starting to come into the market. Everything. And the Grange, you might want to be a little careful since they opened it an hour earlier now. But you just have to use some judgment. So the safest time is the midday. That's the safest one to use. But your dollar risk is always greater. So you're balancing dollar risk against a probability. My stop loss is always based on a technical of a previous high or low of some point. It could be a previous 15-minute bar, an hourly bar, a day. And the dollar risk to that point tells me whether or not I want to take the trade. From my viewpoint, to say that I'm only going to risk $500 and put the order in means that you're just going to give money back a lot. The market doesn't respect that. The market respects pivot points. The market respects the previous day's high, low, and close. So the market tells you what your dollar risk should be. And sometimes it's too big to take. And that's often when I'll say, well, you know, I don't think it's going to come down. I'll take the trade anyway. And that's when you're out of control. So control, to me, is the most important thing. Whenever I lose money, big money, it's almost always because I'm out of control. I've broken my rules. I want to get rid of one contract. I want to get rid of it the same bar, if possible. I want to get out of that as quick as I can. As soon as you go into the market, you put the order in. As soon as you're filled, you put the order in to get out with the number one. So it's waiting there. And many times that'll happen. There's an example in the book in T-Bond Market where I do a three-contract trade, daily, weekly, or trading cycle and primary cycle, where you're out of your number one of $1,000 about three or four times on day of entry. And that feels real good because you go home with money under your belt. You know you're not going to hurt too bad. Next one, I'm not going to show you the other chart. We know that the daily is above the sell line. So this one is interesting, however, because number two is below the previous, and we'll have to show you this one. This is a true, wonderful setup. I mean, this is almost a gimme. This low is this alpha cycle low is below the previous low. This high is below the previous high. Trend is clearly down. So with that kind of picture, when I go to my hourly and I see that the day before my hourly goes above the sell line and the next day it opens up, I got slam downs. This is a slam up. Market opens higher. I've got, better yet, divergent pattern on this day. My oscillator is up here. Here, the oscillator turns down about here. Actually, it turns down on the high bar below the crossover. That is a pattern that I call a bear kiss. In about 5 minutes, we're going to jump to the bear kiss. I'm not going to go through all of these examples. But when you have a downturn below the crossover, generally you want to sell the market, and often you can buy it right back again. So this is a great sell. On the 15-minute bar, it looks risky selling up here. Look at the 15-minute. The market went up here, came down here, went back up again, and worked. It worked. So at midday, I've got a beautiful sell signal. This is one of the safest sells you could find. But yet, everybody thinks the market's going to go higher. And if you don't have your homework done, if you don't know these techniques, there's no way you could sell it. And on top of that, the 15-minute is also above the sell line. I'm sorry, could you speak up? No, this is hourly and 15-minute. Half hour after the open. Was right there. you would have bought, if you had used a half hour, I think you would have been stopped in and stopped out. Small loss, you go right back in again. You know, you can't do that. Most people can't do that because they're out of control. Their emotion is tied into that trade. When you're using mechanics, you know where your stop is, you know it's your job to lose money, you can go right back in again because that's a top. Okay, I'm going to skip the other ones so that we can get into this. They're all pretty. There's only one more. It's pretty self-explanatory. Bear kiss in the cash S&P. This is a good sell signal, a short-term sell signal, but better yet, it's going to throw us down into a bottom and a buying opportunity because this generally occurs on the way down to a trading cycle or alpha cycle bottom. You can read the pattern. It's in here. Basically, from below the crossover, the oscillator turns up for 2 days or more and turns down while it's below the crossover. Your trigger entry is you sell the low of the downturn day. 14 patterns since September 89. They tend to drop 0.5 to 3% below the low of the oscillator downturn day. That's your sell price, low of the oscillator downturn day. And then you want to buy the cycle bottom. The cycle bottom will often occur as the 310 turns up. So let's look at this. Here's the daily picture. These are the cycle bottoms that occur. What you see, A, B, C, D, and E, are the bear kiss setups. Where you see the arrow is the day that it's set up. The setup is when the oscillator turns down. That's downturn day. And then these are the cycle bottoms. Primary cycle bottom, alpha cycle bottom. Notice that's a little early. This is a trading cycle bottom, a 1F primary cycle, trading cycle bottom, and a primary cycle bottom. By giving these lows definition, you know you set up time frames again for tops and bottoms. And this shows you where they hit on the 3 minus 10. Here's the downturn, here's the downturn, here's the downturn, here's the downturn, and here's the downturn. Oh, by the way, what I'm showing you here is one of the lessons in my course. It's part of one of the lessons in my course. In A, which occurs right here, slamming down. I'm not interested in selling right now, yes? You don't want to carry a contract overnight unless you've taken your ones and twos off, and generally you want to be a ways away from your entry. It's kind of a judgment call. It also depends upon what kind of cycle bottom I think I have and what my dollar risk is. So it's a judgment call. We saw this earlier as a 310 buy, and that's, we're using this to sell us down to the bottom to buy the bottom. So this, you remember this pattern that we saw down here where it had this little double bottom in the 15? The hourly's down here, the 15 minutes down here, the daily's down here, and on top of that, it follows a bear kiss sell. A fabulous buy right down here. You buy it the same way. Buy stop above that point. So let's go on to another one that we have not seen. Let's go on to this one. Interestingly enough, this one occurs following an alpha cycle bottom, and then you're going to have to get out because it's going to go back up again. And the test is, will the market allow us to do that? There's B. Now, following the setup here, the hourly drops below the buy line here and turns up. You can place a buy stop above the previous day's high, which is, I can't really see it here, it's someplace around here. We can see it here. Yeah, it's someplace around here. Big dollar risk. As it turns out, this is an inside day. The hourly goes back down again, drops below the buy line again. So now I want to drop down to my 15. And just on this chart, I could buy the day following on day three, I could buy above the previous day's high because we're so oversold here. The hourly's oversold, the daily's oversold. On the 15-minute, what do I do here? This is day zero, day one, day two, day three. I have a divergence here as well in the 15 minute. So with this divergence and a down and upturn in the 15 minute, I could put a buy stop above this little congestion swing right here. It closes not all that strong. I would probably have my number one off, and I can't say whether I'd carry it over or not. If I carried it over, I would certainly have a buy stop up here, and I might use a buy stop right here. See, so it's not a clear-cut system. It's a method. Pardon me? Stop always goes below the lowest low. Stop would go down there. That's where you're wrong. Well, you could say I'm going to put my stop down here, and it'll be a good money stop. But there's nothing to say the market's not going to go down here and trade around. So you will get stopped out more frequently here, but you would have a smaller dollar stop than you would if you went from here to here. So that's a judgment call. Good question. You generally want to give it some room. On my recommendations, I put it one tick below it. I leave it up to you to move it away to where it doesn't have your name on it. But yeah, you want to put it a couple ticks below. On an entry, I want to get it right at the tick because it's usually going to run. And my viewpoint is if it goes down here, I just want to be out because if I've got a tick a few points, if I've got a stop a few points below it, it affects my psychological balance. I'd rather get out and get back in again. It's pretty much my approach. You can do well here. Now here with the futures, you can do one of two ways. When it takes it out in the cash market, throw it into the futures market. Or you can put it a number of points below the futures market.
Fair value or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Next one. Here's C. Coming down again into a bottom. Here's our downturn day, big down. The next day, day one, is down. On the downturn day, momentum was very strong, meaning it pushed the oscillator down below the buy line. So the next day, I get a slam down. Slam down, first hour or two, wham, market goes down right away. On day two, buy day two. Well, on the hourly, you could just buy the high of day two. If you bought the high of day two, you'd have gotten out probably here with a loss. Rephrase that. If you bought it here on a slam down, you put a buy stop above the high of the day because it slammed down. You get out on the close because it's down here with a loss. If you bought it above this day's high, you get out over here because you didn't make enough money. When it drops down here, you're ready to go. You've got divergence. And you can re-enter when you exceed the previous day's high with a buy stop there. On the 15-minute, however, you can really do something that's pretty nice. The 15-minute comes down on that same day. Here we've got the divergence. And the oscillator gives you a congestion and turns up. Now, the hourly oscillator turns up right around here, right at the point where we're in here. So someplace that hourly oscillator might have turned up here or here. In either case, you've got a dollar risk of 150, 200 bucks. Everything's oversold. You're looking at a potential divergence. It's down at the oscillator. It'd be a place to buy it. If you don't, this could be a buy, congestion, or you could buy it when you take out the high of the previous day. But what we're after as a speculator is low dollar risk. But you don't want to do a full position with low dollar risk, unless you've got everything just set up just right. And I don't think the hourly had turned up yet. So you could put around one here, one there. And actually, you'd have been out of your number one about the time you put this on. So you could have put your number one on left it on when you hit your number two, put a stop in down below the congestion, and you didn't affect have your number three. Pardon me? To the midday. Well, your midday, so your midday is the highest high of the day. So it would be here. Your pivot point is the highest high of the day at midday. Or the lowest point of the day at midday. So I'd be using the midday for my cell stop, but I'd be using the swing congestion area for a buy stop. Here we are on D. Now D is a very nice one because you've got what looks like a nice uptrend going. But it turns out to be a top. Now right here you wouldn't think it was a top, and I would not be inclined to sell it. But we get a bear kiss sell right here at D, right here as a matter of fact. So let's look at it. Here's our congestion, here's our oscillator downturn day at D. On the 24th, we actually end up buying the market because this is an inside day. I tend not to buy inside day. So we have our down day, our oscillator downturn day, an inside day. We go higher the next day. If you use your half hour rule, I don't think you would have been in. No, half hour rule you wouldn't have been in. I don't like to buy inside days anyway. So the market drops, you're relieved. Now you're set up for the bottom. And the market comes down and sure enough, drops below the buy line here, bounces up, drops below it again here. And the market continues down to here in a slam down. You got a slam down here, slam down here. What does this show us? 15-minute bar chart says you could have had a buy stop here, buy stop here, buy stop here, and you wouldn't have gotten filled on the way down. Because at this point you might be thinking slam down, look to buy it. So it's a lucky trade. But then it comes down here and slams down here, buy stop above the high of the day. You ticked in here, goes down here, comes back up. Now this would be a midday buy. You could, this would be your stop, but you could use a little congestion low for a dollar risk, dollar control. Then the following day you could enter here. Well, you want to go through it. You want to go through it first. This oscillator does not work well in. It works great in the S&P. It works well in some other markets. You might want to use some other oscillators. This concept works in all markets, but with different oscillators and perhaps different time frames. Pardon me? You will go through the basic oscillators that I use in the course, yeah. They're the same ones in the book. I just show you how to use them. Pardon me? Oh, I don't have it. I mean, I'm not telling you a system. I'm not giving you a system. I'm giving you something. I could walk out today. I could advertise this, and I could sell it for $1,000. I'm giving you a method that you can develop into a systematic approach. But you've got to go back and turn it into a system yourself. As you go through this, you'll find things yourself, and you'll be able to improve it. You'll find that this approach is going to give you an extremely high profit-to-loss ratio, win-to-loss ratio. It's going to be very, very high. Bear kiss. Bear kiss on D is the oscillator is below the crossover, comes up and turns down, goes up for more than 2 days and turns down while still below the crossover. And you sell the low of the downturn day, which is this day right here. It's actually an up close. No, it's a downrange day. You sell the low of the downrange day. But that's it. Is there a what? Not that I've structured, but general guideline for the 310 is, this is general, if the oscillator turns down below the sell line, below the crossover, you've got weakness, you want to consider selling it. If it turns up above the crossover, you want to consider buying it. And if you put these same concepts in, you'll be able to find something, certainly. It's a 3-day or 3-bar oscillator minus a 10-bar oscillator, and then you take a 16-bar oscillator of the 3 minus 10. That's for your crossover.
Average value of the bars?
Close. Never use average value. It's worthless. Or let me rephrase that. It's not as good as the close. We're talking energy, and the close is where the energy is. And the whole market is energy. Cycles are energy. The moves are energy. Momentum is energy. The oscillators are energy. And all of the technical stuff works best on the close. I've gone back and run all the oscillators on opens, highs and lows, average range, the close. That's where the energy is. Yes. And then you take a 16 average of that average.
Unweighted.
Yeah, you want it unweighted and you don't want it exponential. Exponential is too jerky. You don't want it to be jerky. The crossover is a 16 bar average, or a 16 day. Let's talk days. It's a 16 day average of a 3 day minus a 10 day. So once you calculate the 3 minus 10, you take a 16 moving average of that. That's your crossover. You could say that there's something similar to that. You come close.
So that there's a measure of
momentum. If you run a 7-day rate of change, you're not going to get the same picture as the oscillator. Try it. You'll see there's a difference. Could you speak up? I have this noise behind me. I'd say in an illiquid market, with what you're picking up here, you could own half the country pretty quickly, because they're going to. What happened in this country is technical analysis became more and more prevalent. The things that work stopped working. The things you could use in the 60s and 70s kind of stopped. You can take these concepts into the illiquid market, but I wouldn't use stops as close. Follow me? I wouldn't trade the market as fine. And I'd be very careful of getting too big a piece of the open interest. You want to, the more illiquid, the more you're at the mercy of the floor traders. The market in this country that I'm talking about is cotton. You really don't want to trade cotton very much because it's controlled by people other than a lot of people with a lot of money in it. The beauty of the S&P is there's lots of money in there, lots of volume, lots of open interest. I don't think that I would trade a market as a speculator that has low liquidity like you're talking about.